All right, welcome in. Joe, how's it going this morning?
Brian, doing all right. You know, I have to follow up with my concerns from yesterday. Yesterday, I had concerns about my dermatologist appointment and went there. They said, well, the spot has shrunk, so we're just going to do the same thing again and hope that we get, you know, more shrinking. So not as bad as I had feared.
All right, so there you go.
Yeah.
So you're doing really well.
Yeah, I have a huge blister on my leg because they sprayed it with that, you know, liquid cold stuff. So it's going to get worse before it gets better. But beside that, yeah. I am doing great.
All right, well, good. We're doing better than anyone stuck at the bottom of the ocean.
Yes.
In a tiny, which I've learned, Joe, this was my first thing, not a submarine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a submarine. It does the same thing.
I like, this is where you go. There's the like actual definition, then there's the colloquial definitions where, you know, to me, and I think to most people, anything that people go in that goes underwater is a submarine, but that's only a certain class of, so we're calling this a submersible to be, you know, totally correct here. Don't want to be incorrect, but it's a sub. It's a submarine. It's basically a very tiny version of a submarine, and it's stuck down the ocean floor. I'm learning new things about this every day. Well, we don't know if it's on the ocean floor. Here's the crazy thing with this submersible. It's only able to be opened from the outside. You know, not that they'd want to open it up if they were down on the ocean floor or anything like that, or, you know, that they would be able to, but there's no emergency latch or anything like that. So even if they were on the surface or at a depth that they could safely swim to the surface,
they can't get out.
They would not be able to do so. Somebody on the outside has to unbolt 17 different bolts. And that's part of the race against the clock here. Is it's not just, oh, let's get this thing up to the surface or something like that. No, you need to be able to open up this submersible as well, which is, you know, crazy, the things I'm learning about this every day.
And that's the thing, like, you know, Brian, I have not stopped thinking about this. I'm not even saying that for exaggeration. Like, this is on top of my mind. You've got potentially five people stuck knowing, you know, they're on News Nation. There's a clock on the side of the screen. You know, the people on the submersible, know that they have the same, you know, there's only so much oxygen left on this thing, and that, you know, they are in the middle of the ocean or in the middle of the Titanic wreckage. We don't know exactly where they are. It's got to be just, I mean, an experience that none of us will ever, hopefully, be able to relate to. But I also heard the story yesterday, Brian, I don't know if you heard this, of the reporter who was stuck under the Titanic just last year. And, you know, what he had to do to wiggle his way out from under one of the Titanic's propellers.
Yeah, that's it's a dangerous thing to do. And I, like, Joe, that should go without saying. Like,
yeah,
it should seem kind of obvious, but in a way I don't think it is to a lot of people. Like, do you get that feeling where, you know, I'm reading story after story and I'm, you know, kind of going through where people are commenting on this and adding their own, you know, commentary to some of the different things. You know, we talked about earlier, it was controlled by, you know, basically like a cheap video game controller is what was used to control this sub. And like, people are kind of stunned by this. Like, oh my goodness, you know, how could you go in?
I was stunned by that.
Something like that. You know, it's just controlled by this thing you could buy for $20 and they reconfigured it. Like, unbelievable. I feel like people, and we've talked about this before, like, people have a terrible time assessing risk and like that kind of thing. And we've made a lot of things very nerfed. Like, we're used to there being almost no risk on so many things that we almost forget to think about it sometimes when it comes to a trip to the Titanic, Joe, which I think people are like under the assumption that it's all safe, but it's not.
No, not safe at all. And, you know, I obviously knew there were dangers going to the bottom of the ocean. I didn't know this, Brian. I didn't know that there has never been a successful rescue of someone stuck that deep. I just learned that if they are able to find them and they are at the bottom with the Titanic, it would, and they were able to rescue them, it would beat the furthest rescue by 11,000 feet. Did you realize that?
Yeah, because it's so dangerous, right? Like it is a danger to do that. And this, Joe, kind of brings up in what we'll ask people today. You can weigh 803-0930 to weigh in. Give us a call. Send us a text, 803-0930. On our website, WBEN.com, we're asking people, and I cannot believe this poll is so close, do you think extreme pay-for-play tourism opportunities should be banned, yes or no? And, Joe, it's almost a 50-50 split on our web poll right now with 48% of people. 48% of people responded to this, said that they think tourist things like this, that this extreme adventure, going in this tiny sub down to the Titanic, should be banned. And you know, this would include like going up into space. They think these opportunities should be banned. And I can't wrap my head around that, like saying that this should be off the table for people to do. And that half the respondents say you shouldn't be allowed to do something like this. It doesn't make sense to me. I think what you do need to know is that there is risk involved, right? Like, just because you have money and like you're able to do something incredible like this, you do have to know that it's not like riding the log flume. Like, there is still risk in going to the bottom of the ocean, in going to space, in climbing Mount Everest, right? Like, even though we've taken some of the risk out, like, you're not the first, you're not Lewis and Clark anymore, like the first people exploring the West. There are guides to help you. People have done it. And now it's opened up to people who aren't necessarily experts. Doesn't mean that it's any less risky.
No, and that's the thing. I don't think these should be outlawed. I don't think these should be banned. And it is, let me get this, it is amazing where technology is that we can fly people up to space for 11 minutes, that there is the way to reach the Titanic wreckage. That doesn't mean you should do it, right? And you should know everything, not just the waiver. You should study everything that could and has gone wrong with these. I mean, again, if you're just that irresponsible, you know, that's on you. But if you're going to sign up to go down to the Titanic, you should know every statistic. The stuff that I'm finding out now, you should have known before they bolted you into the submersible.
Well, you should be able to know. I don't think you need to pass a test on it. It's at your own risk.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying.
Joe,
I'm just saying it's on you to do the research. It's not.
Yes, exactly. It's on if you want to or not. Like, there's no playing dumb at the end of it. But it's at your own risk, and people have a different risk tolerance. And if you are the type of person that wants to go out there and, you know, people say this all the time, you know, live your life to the fullest. I never, you know, people have different definition of what that can be.
Yeah.
Like, I'm living my life to the fullest right now with two kids in the house. Like, yeah. That is my going to the Titanic. Like, I'm feeling very fulfilled.
It's a little safer
right now
than going to the
day
Titanic.
To day.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the day, Joe. but I feel fulfilled doing this, and I don't necessarily need to or really desire to go and do that. But if you do, you should be able to. No one should have to test you. The information is made available to you. And just because there's an accident doesn't mean that we should ban everybody from doing something like this. I'm very surprised when I look at the poll results that it's kind of so split like that.
Yeah, I think some people are just like, well, if it's not safe, then you shouldn't allow me to make that decision. And that's just not how life is, Brian. You are given the opportunity to do what you want. You have to weigh the risks. It's like I went to the ropes course over the weekend, and I asked how many people have fallen off these ropes. You know, I made sure I did my research before climbing up the ladder.
Trusted the 16-year-old who was...
Yeah, that's right.
But, Joe, that's how a lot of people look at it. Right? Like, that's how a lot of people look at it. And we've been taught... I mean, it's what drives me insane every time. It's like the number one thing. Every time I hear the governor speak, and she says... And she says this all the time. It's like, my number one job is to keep you safe. And I go, oh, like, no, like, I don't think that's true.
No.
Like, I guess it's true to you. So, and you're the governor. So for right now, it's true. But like not, that's not how I want to, because it's that mindset that like, oh, well, everyone's here to keep me safe. I'll be fine no matter what I do. So, yeah, I've never climbed anything before, but I'll go right for Everest. You know what? I see people do it all the time. That's not the way life works. But we are kind of constantly being told that life does work that way. I don't want to blame people for thinking it, because you've almost been conditioned to think that way.
Yeah, but don't you get to an age where you realize that no one's here to hold your hand? You know that you.
But somebody is, like, almost all the time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you would think that. And through many people, through their life experiences, they see that. But, Joe, I'm reading these stories, right, of. There's been a whole bunch of them, like, I think on CNBC, where people are doing remote work and remote job interviews, and they have their parents off screen or helping them apply for the job and then go through the interview, or showing up to work, well, and maybe work is just at home in the other room, and helping their kids at the office, you know, at the workplace. So, Joe, for some people, that's not true. Like, for a lot of people, somebody literally is there to hold your hand every step of the way.
Well, and again, this is... an example, extreme example of the negative impact of that, right? Because you're just expecting, instead of, again, doing the research, even reading the waiver, I'm sure people just sign it without reading it. They just think, oh, well, this must be safe. They're letting me do it. And I think that might be an extreme negative impact of people going through life without knowing the consequences.
Yeah. And by the way, we are saying, like, we haven't talked to anybody who's on this sub. Like, we don't know anybody who's on the sub. So we don't know the mindset going in. We don't know if anyone was actually thinking that way. Like, everyone on that sub might have been perfectly fine with the risks associated.
Let me ask
you. But we're kind of making that assumption that no one really wraps their head around the risk associated.
Risk associated. Is there anything out there, Brian, in the entire world or universe that you would take a risk to go explore?
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe not this level of risk, but there
is a risk involved. That's hard to. I mean, there's risk involved in literally everything, right?
That's true.
Cross country. You're in a car for that period of time. That's a tremendous amount of risk just driving on the road.
Yes, my risk is Virginia Tech games.
Right, it's depending on how you look at it, and if you make yourself aware of every risk that's out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a hard question to ask. Like, going to the Grand Canyon, like, is a risk if you hike down into the Grand Canyon.
That's right.
Right? It's one of these things that people don't really think about that much because, well, it's a tourist destination. Out there, they got a rope on the side. Like, people have done this before. People do it all the time. But people also every single year get kind of trapped down there. Going to Zoar Valley, Joe, like, people do it every weekend. Some people do it and never come back. Mm-hmm. And you hear the story every single year. So, like, what exactly is that? Do you kind of, like, get what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Like, we associate risk only with, you know, on a
rebel,
quote-unquote extreme. You're diving to the ocean floor. You're being blasted off into space. You know, it it doesn't have to be something like that to have a risk associated.
Now, my buddy skydives on a regular basis, and I tell you, Brian, you could never talk me into it. Never in a million years could you talk me into jumping out of a plane.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
And that's not so much risk. That's just me, like, knowing the feeling that I would get standing in that door and, like, hating that feeling and not wanting to have it.
No.
And my wife would skydive, and I told her, like, that's fine. You just have to wait 18 years.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
right?
When the kids are out of the house, like, then you can go do that kind of stuff, like, whatever you want. Like, we went on the last time me and my wife were on a cruise, we booked an excursion off of the cruise ship. And it's so funny. Like, you get off the cruise ship, and, you know, people are talking to each other, like, oh, where are you going? Like, oh, I'm doing the blah, 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 you know, thing. And, you know, we go, well, we're doing something, you know, separate from the cruise. And, you know, this lady looks at us and goes, well, never. Just... Yeah, for the future, never book one that's not with the cruise ship. If you don't get back in time, the boat will leave you behind. And we go, like, oh, yeah, well, I'm aware. Like, like, thank you. Like, there's a risk with that.
There's a risk.
And then there's also, like, we end up, we're looking for a random person in Mexico who's going to, you know, we hop from the island to the mainland on a ferry. Then we meet some random person who packs us and our friends in a van, drives us into the middle of the jungle. And, you know, we have a great time, you know, doing all these crazy things that we never would have done before. And then we get back and, like, wow, that was so much fun. Like, I can't wait to do that again. And now my attitude is, yeah, I can't wait to do that again in 18 years. Like, yeah. That's a risk that for the next couple of decades I'm not going to take.
It's not worth it.
Right? Like, just with where I am in my life. But then after that, let's do it again. But, like, there is, you know... You hop into a van with a stranger in the middle of the Mexican jungle. Yeah, there's a little bit of a risk involved.
Yes.
Like, yeah. But in some, you might be willing to take it. You might be not. It depends on a million different things that might be going on in your life. Might be on your personality. I love to explore like that, but I'm also kind of aware of the situation and who currently needs me to. You know, let's say, well, we're gonna hold off on this. You know, for now. That's just me. Like, that's how I look at it.
I also look, you know, practical ways of still enjoying it. As you know, Brian, I'm obsessed with the Titanic, right? I watch these videos. I read all this stuff. But there's also an expedition going around the country of stuff they've pulled off the Titanic, of life jackets and pieces of lifeboats. I'll go see that. Like, that's as close as I need to get, right? I mean, that right there, I can enjoy it. I can see pieces of it. Pieces that were on the ship, that's cool. That's good enough for me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to take a risk to see artifacts from something that I think is still 100 plus years later fascinating to so many people.
Yeah, and you can't get in. I love on our text board, somebody said, how about the idiots who free climb? Like, you ever see that Free Solo documentary? Like, I get anxious. Like, my heart is pounding watching the movie.
Oh, yeah.
That if you've never seen the movie, it's just worth it to watch it. It's about this climber who climbs these mountains, no rope, no anything like that. And that's something I can't wrap my head around. I'm like, don't you get, like, you get the same enjoyment, the same activity, the same everything, just by having a rope there to catch it, just in case you fall. You know what I mean? Like, in case you misstep, your fingertip isn't strong enough to hold your entire body weight on, like, the smallest little crevice. But I can't put myself in that person's brain. They only enjoy it if they're not, you know, with a rope. And that's to each their own.
Yeah.
You all make your own choices. And as somebody else pointed out, somebody died on a motorcycle yesterday. You're not going to ban motorcycles.
No, but they
because,
are
just
dangerous.
Like, you're not going to ban automobiles. Yeah. It happens every day. You all make your own choices, and this is one of them. And if you're on hold with us, please stay with us. Sorry, you know, we're running our mouths here. But I do want to mention this, Joe, because we were talking about this earlier in the week. The one thing that keeps getting brought up, like the price tag. I think the price tag has to... Like, that can't be a point of discussion, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, and you're paying $250,000. Like, the people who are going on this, $250,000, like, that for them is their vacation money.
Yeah, the way you know, like, explained it, exactly.
It's a life savings for us, but we are not the people going on it, right? Like, that is... I don't take the money into it really at all.
No. I mean, but if you do look at it, $250,000 to take that risk, again, I'm cheap, so that's probably another reason I wouldn't do something like this.
Yeah, but like generally, it's not $250,000 spent by somebody, you know, from at least from what I've read. It's not spent by somebody who saved up their entire life to now be lost at sea.
No, we're talking about, I believe, five billionaires, right? Or yeah. Four billionaires and the CEO.
Where, I mean, it's people who are just like, all right, we'll do this. Like, almost the same way, like, how about a nice dinner this Friday? You know, yeah. Like, it's that kind of money.
Again, as obsessed with Titanic as I am, I just do not understand it. Like I told you, Brian, suspend disbelief. The only thing you could get me really interested in is if I could go there in a, you know, suited up scuba dive, hooked up to a rope, by the way, so you need to find 12,000 feet of rope, and I can go touch pieces of the Titanic.
Those deep sea diver iron suits, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, if you're one of half the people on our web poll who thinks things like this should be banned, why? Let us know. 803-0930 BMS and Beamer on WBEN. Welcome back. We're asking you over at WBEN.com, do you think extreme pay-for-play tourism opportunities should be banned in wake of the search for the missing sub that was going on to look for the Titanic? Well, I mean, they knew where it was. They weren't looking for it, but just to explore a little bit. Right now, 48% of you say yes, that you think that should be banned. You can vote over at WBEN.com and let us know why. I want to hear from some of these people who do believe that it should be banned and exactly why. Joe, I'm kind of the person where, you know, to each their own. As long as you kind of understand and are able to wrap your head around the risk, if any, involved, then that your life, your decision to make.
And I agree with that. I'm still on board with that. But from what I'm hearing, some people are saying, Brian, that it's not so much that, you know, they don't want you to do that. It's look at now. We have the Coast Guard. We have first responders out there. People who are ready to and are currently putting themselves at risk to find these five individuals. And maybe that's why they're voting yes when saying they should be banned. Because look, when something happens, now you've got people who, you know, obviously didn't take the risk, now putting their lives at risk to find these people.
Well, there, you know, that argument gets made a lot. But they're doing their job that
right.
requires some risk. And also, they're not going to take an unnecessary risk themselves to go find. I mean, you see this in search and rescue missions all the time, in water especially, where if the conditions aren't right, I mean, they say that we can't go out there. You know, we can't, you know, fly a helicopter in, you know, per se, in this condition, so we have to call off the search right now, right? Like, they're not going to do unnecessary
right.
risk and put themselves needlessly in harm's way to, you know, go and do that kind of thing. I go ahead.
You know, I just thought this company has two other submersibles. Why haven't they sent another submersible to try to find the other one?
Yeah, it's a good. But the question is, what do they do? Like, it appears to me, Joe, that you're in this sub, you're kind of exploring a little bit, you're able to see some things, and then you go back up, and like, it doesn't really do anything.
Right.
So like, if that was the case, I like the way you're thinking. But then I'm thinking, all right, so they find him. Like, then what?
All right, well, then they can tell people who are looking for him, hey,
okay,
they're here.
You go right back, and then
number two, maybe they're just, you know, stuck somewhere. Maybe it's not that the thing had a breakdown.
You do a little bumper subs.
That's what I'm thinking. You just bump them out of it, and then because maybe that's all it is. It's like this person on ABC who, you know, was a journalist down there stuck under the propeller blade. They had to wiggle themselves out for an hour, but they got themselves out. Maybe this is what's going on with this submersible, and it just needs that outside bump.
I mean, no bad ideas, right?
Not at this point.
as the clock is ticking, there's no bad ideas for how to do that.
Also, are you surprised, knowing the risk, are you surprised they didn't have a backup plan for if everything melted down? Like, because from what I'm hearing, they lose contact like 30 minutes every voyage. So it's not new to lose contact.
They release weight, right? And they can go to the surface if something goes wrong. Like, that's the back. You can only have so many backup plans, right?
That's true. That's right.
So that is, from what I can tell, that's like their backup plan idea is to do that. But then, of course, you have what we were talking about before. Even if this were to be on the surface, which I didn't realize this until this morning and I read it, it can only be open from the outside by releasing these bolts. So they, you know, theoretically could be on the surface running out of oxygen.
Right. So even if they're at the surface, they are still depending on the oxygen because they technically are still in the water.
I mean, that's crazy. 803-0930 to weigh in. Are you one of the people who have voted, and it's almost a 50-50 split on our web poll to say that these things should be banned? If so, why? And what do you think about this sort of extreme, quote-unquote, tourism in general? On our text board, there's, you know, a whole lot of people chiming in. There's some good comments. There's somebody saying, because we mentioned, Joe, before the break, motorcycles. You know, like, you're not going to ban motorcycles. There's obviously a risk, you know, to that. And somebody's saying, well, the difference with motorcycles is there's a regulation by the government with this sub. There's really no regulation. And maybe that's why, you know, you have it with this cheap little controller as the operating system. It does bring in another question as to, like, what does everything need to be regulated? Like, we get into that hand-holding conversation again, where, like, everything, I don't know if everything needs to be regulated, right? We could have had this conversation, Joe, last week with the cave boat in Lockport. And you know, right. A tragedy happened there. It had not been, it kind of fell out of the purview of a lot of these checks, right? It wasn't a quote-unquote amusement ride. It wasn't a boat that would need, or a tour boat, you know, that's on the lake or the canal that would need to be checked in a certain way. It was, you know, something completely different, and, you know, that wasn't checked out. And you could say, well, that needs to change. And then the next question would be, well, how do you change it? Like, is there a line that you don't want to cross where, what, absolutely everything you do needs to, you know, be given the thumbs up by the government? I mean, in some ways, like, I'm glad, though, that every elevator is inspected and has a little certificate.
Yes.
Right? like you, maybe you say, like, no, there's not really. Like, you should, you know, we have the gas pump inspectors to make sure I'm not getting overcharged. Like, the things like that should be looked at.
Yeah, certain inspections. But, I mean, again, with this thing going to the Titanic, that's just part of your research. Wait a minute. No government entity, you know, through all the channels that this thing travels through, has, you know, looked at this, has given it any kind of sanction or any kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, Brian? Inspection. You know, again, that's just part of your research. I don't think that should be necessary. But you should know that before you go down. And maybe look at some pictures of it. I sent you a picture, Brian. The tubes on the side were clipped in with zip ties. Like, for me, that is... I'm just adding a list of reasons I would not get on this thing.
Yeah, I think you'd be surprised with where zip ties are used.
Don't tell me. Please don't tell me. I don't want to know.
How often?
I don't want to know.
But it does go into the conversation of risk. How much hand-holding do you want, right? Like you mentioned a yearly inspection. Like I do think it's, all right, like car inspections. Car, like, generally, it's good. You don't want cars to be, falling apart or like a danger to everyone else on the road and be driving right next to you, right?
Yes. I mean, you do question how some cars pass inspection, but that's a different topic.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if the system is one, like actually working, but like two, like I'll use my car for an example. My car is a 2021 or 2022 something. It's new. And you're telling me like, that car needs to be inspected the same way and exactly as often as a car that's 25 years old?
That's right.
Like, that doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't seem... Like, and I just got my, you know, registration thing. So, like, there's... The state needs $70 out of me this year for what? You know, I'm driving the right car. Like, it hasn't fallen apart in 2 years.
I like, you know, when you do an inspection and there's a bolt missing, like, somewhere. And it's like, oh, so that bolt was important. But this person that just drove by with their bumper tied to the car, they just got a brand new inspection.
Scraping along the road.
Yeah. By the way,
a brand new sticker.
One inspection that I'm glad is it happens and that there's a list of rules to follow, the FAA. I like to know that multiple people have looked at this plane before I get into the air.
Yeah, that's good. I was thinking about that during the break. Like that risk assessment, how off it is with people. Like there's been a lot more Ford Tauruses involved in accidents than, you know, Boeing 747s.
Yes.
But we perceive flying as, you know, way more risky than getting in the car because it's something we do every single day.
It's just not true.
It's exactly like we have a warped perception of a risk and what's going on. Joe, I'm still... My every night, it's better in the morning, worse at night. Like, my ankle is just killing me from spraining it a week and a half ago. But that's my accepted risk for running around like an idiot and getting it sprained and rolling it over a couple of weeks ago. There's no one to blame but myself.
It's the risk you took, and now you're living with the effects, but, you know, it was worth it.
So, I don't quite get the mindset that these things... should be banned. I think they should be celebrated, you know, in a way. It's crazy that we live in a day and age where it's possible, you know, not possible for me and you, Joe, because we're not billionaires, but it is possible for everyday people with no real training to go into space or go to the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, like I said, I think it's amazing that we have that technology. And those that want to take advantage of it, great. However, I just think you should know the risk. And I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound cold, and I'm sorry. But no, if you're going down to the Titanic, no one has an obligation to save you. I'm glad they are doing the work, and I do hope they find them. But that is part of the risk. There is no one country has the obligation to come and get you. That's just something that I think you should know when getting into something like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool that you can do it. It's cool the technology is there. It's cool that Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk can fly up into space. That is awesome. There's a huge risk. And to me personally, Brian, to answer our first question, to me personally, neither of those things are worth the risk.
Well, you asked me earlier which I'd rather do.
If you had to.
If I had $1 billion, you have to pick one. You go on like the Tesla, the SpaceX, you know, thing that all those people went on a year or so ago, or you could go to the bottom of the ocean. You don't have to check out the Titanic, but, you know, go to the bottom of the ocean on this little sub ride thing. Which would you do, Joe?
Every time I would do the space one if I had to pick.
Yeah. I think it's way cooler. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And like, it seems way, way cooler and way more worth the time to have a view of space than...
Yeah. See Earth from above and, you know, maybe lose gravity for a few seconds. But guess what? Just like with the Titanic, I'm obsessed with space. But when they crash down the space station, I'll go look at a piece of the space station. I don't need to go up to space.
Oh, yeah. I would love to. Like, that outranks this. I don't really have the desire to check out the ocean floor. I don't need to know what's down there. That's not for me. And by the way, like, I think I would think they're kind of equally risky.
Why is that?
It just seems that way in my mind. Like, I don't have numbers in front of me over, you know, deep sea lost at sea or something goes wrong versus up in space. But I like it seems just as like people might perceive it because, well, you're still on the Earth. You just float up like if something goes wrong. But it almost is like being in outer space in a way. It's just like kind of going the other way.
I'm taking a complete guess here. I would assume that diving is more dangerous than going to space. And the only reason I say that, Brian, is because more people have gone to space than gone deep sea diving. And I'd like to see the statistics on that. But I would assume going 12,000 feet into the ocean is more dangerous.
I think most people would assume the opposite, though. Like, if you just asked 100 random people on the street, I think the perception is the opposite of that.
Because of what you said, and because, you know, there's fire and smoke involved in one.
There's not rocket fuel involved.
Exactly.
That's exactly what would happen. The space thing, though, like, I would love, like, I think that would be an all-time...
Again, just like the Titanic, I'm not going into space unless I can get off on a planet and check the planet. Go to the moon, get on the moon. If I'm not touching something, if I'm not on something, it's not worth it.
If you're touching, if you're going to Mars, you're not coming back, though.
Right, but the moon, and maybe that new moon they just discovered. You know, put me on the moon. I want to be somewhere. Like there needs to be a destination for me to spend the money.
Oh, I don't think so. Being up there, seeing the blackness of space. Seeing the curvature of the Earth, like that's more than enough. I don't need to.
I'm sure, but I've seen the pictures.
Put my boots on some moon dust.
But I've seen it in 4K. Right?
It's not.
You've taken away, just like the Titanic. I've seen it in 4K.
It's not. You've
taken away the me needing to go up there. I want to have an experience.
Then why are you going to these football games all the time? You can watch it in 4K.
It's a lot different experience it in person. There's a difference
but,
there.
But being
I'm
in space
standing
is
there.
Not.
I'm seeing the
Tell
game. I'm experiencing
John Glenn,
the crowd.
Can we get John Glenn on or Scott Kelly? Get the Kelly brothers on the phone. Joe says you wasted your time. He's got the same experience as you guys.
That's not
on TV.
For me, that's enough. If I'm going to go to, again, I'm not an astronaut. I didn't study space, right? If I had, I wouldn't have gotten out of college, let's be honest. So for me, there has to be I want to step on the moon. If not, then it just doesn't interest me. I'm not saying if those people hadn't done it, I wouldn't have the awesome images I have on my computer. So it's thanks to them. I'm just saying, To pique my interest, Elon Musk would need to take me to the moon.
Look, that's crazy to me. And on the moon, like you're going to be looking at the same thing you would be looking at if you're not on the moon.
Yes, but I get to experience the moon. I get to step onto the moon.
See, now I'm going to sound like you. What's there to see on the moon?
It's being on the moon. It's just like swimming through the Titanic.
I know, but it's being in space.
Right,
like,
and that's
on
cool.
The moon, like I'll spoiler alert. You know what's on the moon?
What's that?
Nothing.
Right.
It's the moon. It's a big rock.
I just for me, I'm not an astronaut, not a space person. Like I said, I think it would be cool to see a piece of the space station when they crash it down. But for me to like say, hey, let's take this risk, get on the SpaceX rocket, just like with the Titanic, I'm going to say, well, I need to be able to experience being on something like the moon or going into the space station. Those to me, okay, now you've piqued my interest, let's go.
All right.
That's just how I know it doesn't make sense because I'm the same person that says, well, I have to be at the game. I get it. I am completely contradicting everything I've said in life. But that's just how I see these two specific examples.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I can start to understand that.
All right.
but not saying it makes any sense to me.
No.
Just like it doesn't make sense to me that people want this band. That's the one thing. I mean, listen, you could say it will never be you. No one's forcing you to do it. Like, that's at the end of the day. No one's forcing you to do it. And as long as you are able, I don't even need you to read the waiver. I don't need you to like actually be aware of the risk involved. I just need you to have had the opportunity to be made aware of the risk involved. As long as that's the case.
It's on you. It's on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. All right. Brian, you back here tomorrow?
Back here where I am.
Okay.
But I'll be back on the air tomorrow.
That's what we look
forward to. I might be able. We'll see. I cannot wait for this week to be over, Joe.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
You're working from home. I would assume that you're having the time of your life.
I'm home for a reason. It's been this whole thing is the biggest pain in the you know what, like juggling a million things here. But I cannot wait to be back.
Well, I can't wait when you come back to break that down because I think right there's a conversation in itself.
Yeah, there's working from home because you want to, and then there's working from home because you have to, and I think they're two very different things, and I'm doing one, not the other. But yeah, maybe we'll talk about that coming up here. Have a good one, Joe. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, you too, Brian. David's next here on News Radio 930 WBEN.